that during our worship we had some breakthrough. So some of you have been praying for breakthrough in some areas. I just think you need to just be looking for them to manifest. I was on my porch late Friday night by myself. And I was just thinking about the Christian life and thinking about this series that we're sort of praying without ceasing kind of thing with the Lord. And thinking about how the Christian life, it's kind of like living personally in the middle of a song being sung, a new song. Or a poem that's being written, like this amazing poem. I don't like terrible poems, and some famous poems are terrible, but I like good poems. And then I thought, well, that makes sense, because Ephesians 2:10 says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And the word workmanship there is a Greek word. It is the word poem. That we're God's poem. And God's poem is a masterpiece, but there's something, there's a drama about a poem. There's something, I was listening to my little speaker, my Bose speaker out there, listening to some songs, and I was, the way this happened, I was kind of marveling at some folk songs I were hearing, folk music. And I was thinking, man, this is some great poetry. Just some of the things they were saying and singing. And then I thought about this. And I thought about our walk, my life in Christ, your life, is like this amazing poem that's being written or being spoken as we live. Again, it's like living in the middle of a song. And that may not mean anything to you at all, but it sort of stirs my heart to reorient, remember that Christianity is an art, not a science. Westerners try to make it into a science, and we create formulas for everything. And there are specific things that God gives us. There are specific direction that He gives us, of course. But Christianity is a poem. And part of what my heart is, I mentioned this last week, but I will remind you of this as we go through. And especially in this first part of this series, or this part of the series where we're laying foundations, talking about intimacy and discovery, encounter, that part of our prayer life is to sort of create a fresh understanding or a bigger understanding, a biblical understanding of what happens in prayer, in the atmosphere of prayer. That's also going to be the springboard for partnership, intercession, and petition. But it's significant that we get it. It's significant that we're stretched beyond our Western mindset and are able to think life in the sense that God Himself says that we are His poem. And so my heart is to provoke your imagination and your fascination about being seated in the heavenly places in Christ where prayer happens. And really where everything in the Christian life, you walk out in that realm. But we're specifically talking about prayer. One of the things I wrote down, actually Friday night, I said about this thing about Christianity being like a poem about each of us that's being spoken, read by the Lord. That the poetry of the Christian life reaches its heights behind the veil in the secret place. And that it finds its expression in the public place. We talked about the fact that there are three assignments to prayer. And I realized intimacy slash encounter. That's one. Discovery, which is really connected to that, two. All that, I guess, would come under the heading of intimacy, really. But then there's partnership. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you about partnership and some of the things, you know, I've gleaned from others, some of the things I've learned in my own failure about not knowing what prayer is all about, and then this, my own discovery about prayer. I was thinking about this that night, that I prayed to receive Christ when I was 12. My sister came home from a campus crusade meeting, or actually a Wells Global Ministry, that I ended up working for years later. Isn't that interesting? The synergy of God. She went to a youth high school breakfast, and she kept saved that you use the four spiritual all booklet. And then she came home and led her little brother to Christ. And for a few months, I was really excited about the Lord. But we went to a church that really didn't teach the word, and it just kind of fizzled out over a while. And so it wasn't until really 11 years later, though in the process of those 11 years, I was involved in a lot of nonsense, but it was amazing some of the things I was spared from, because I know that there was a seal on my life. But 11 years later, at 23, I really began to walk with the Lord. And so I know I've had Christ in my heart for 55 years, and I've walked with him now for 44 years. That's a long time. But I got prayer wrong a long time. You need to understand. So when I teach you about what I've discovered about prayer, I'm really excited about it because it was so transformational for me. And so again, I hope it is for you at some level. But when I talk about prayer happening in heaven, it's significant that you understand that the environment of heaven is not like some transrational vision that you have every once in a while, or transrational experience. Like, oh yeah, I've experienced that sometimes. I remember a couple times in my life, I had this third heaven experience. That's not what I'm talking about. I've known what those things are. I understand what you're saying, where in vision form, things can happen. You really see an open vision, and about like Paul did. But I'm talking about the fact that you develop, cultivate a consciousness that you're awakened to every time you pray. That this is the environment that I'm in. You with me? You understand? Okay. That's why when he says, come up here and I'll show you what must take place, I told you that the real translation of that is come on board. So it's just coming on board. So when I pray, I just come on board. One of the things I did some years ago, I decided to contemplate, study every place in the Bible where there's a throne room story, where it talks about the throne room environment. And so I've done that and contemplated those things. And so those thoughts, those images are in my mind's eye, in my heart. And so when I pray, I purposely am conscious of that environment that I'm in. And it helps me experience the absolute joy of prayer. Because there's nothing solitude about it. Now, you may be the only human being in the room, but you're not the only living creature in the environment, let me tell you that. So last week we began to talk about the environment of heaven. So let me just read these scriptures again from Revelation 4. We'll move along some, and then what we're going to be getting into, I hope today, if not today, for sure next week we'll do it, about what happens to you, the encounter discovery thing. What happens to you on the intimacy side of your life in the secret place? What you can expect. And to me, it's exciting stuff. This is Revelation 4, verse 1. In the midst of these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. I always love that, because this just is a door that stands open. Always open. At any moment, while I'm driving down the street, I can communicating in that environment. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Get on board, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things." And immediately I was in the Spirit. And the word there is actually, "and immediately I was in the Spirit." Ezekiel uses the same phrase several times. "And immediately I was in the Spirit." Like, instead of being in the in-flesh mode, just in the natural mode, in spirit mode. "And behold, a throne standing was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance." Now that's the description of Christ, that he's like jasper. We talked about that being diamond. His majesty and his glory. And the crystal sea before him, he emanates that. It's a reflection of who he is in his glory and majesty. As a matter of fact, there's a cool thing that I saw this week. In Revelation 21, in verse 11. Let me read verse 10 and 11. "And he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, the heavenly city, having the glory of God as her luminary." It was like a very costly stone, a stone of crystal clear jasper. Verse 23, "And the city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb." That's amazing. And it's cool now, but one day it's going to be even stunning, you know, to go, "Where's the light switch?" "Oh, this is the Lamb. The Lamb's the light switch that never goes off." And then it says that he's like sardius. Now, the word the diamond is the stone for Reuben. And when Reuben was born, it said, "Behold the sun." A sardius is the stone of Benjamin. And when Benjamin was born, it was said, "The son of my right hand." So it's not coincidental either that those things connect. It's about Jesus. "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold my beloved son." So these two colors, when you see him, he's like a diamond, but he's also like sardius. And sardius is dark ruby red. And the sardius stone speaks of the fact that he looks dark ruby red, speaks of his wholeheartedness and his fierce and vehement love. You've heard me, some of you, many of you maybe, over the years talk about these things, so bear with me again. But I want them to be imprinted, implanted, be an implanted word that James talks about in your soul. When we think about fire, often we think about judgment. But more often than not, in Scripture, fire speaks about God's fiery love, his passionate love, his wholeheartedness. God doesn't do anything half-heartedly. Let me just remind you, too, like in worship, when we come together in praise and worship, there's nothing, my back's turned to you, there's nothing wrong with sitting down. It's a heart thing, right? But I encourage you to stand as long as you can, because he likes to stand. Like how he stood when Stephen was received. But don't be uncomfortable. I don't turn around and look, so I'm not taking pictures, all right? But make sure you're wholehearted. Because he's singing over us. We even talked about that, sang about that this morning. When we're worshiping him and singing over him, he's singing and shouting over us, dancing over us. Zechariah and Zephaniah talks about that. That's amazing. So we want to give one who's so hearted towards us wholeheartedness back toward him. Okay? And it's kind of a weird time, isn't it? I was talking about this to somebody It's like people still don't really know what to do. I mean, we live in this weird season. I understand that. It's like we don't really know what to do. And even if we feel comfortable doing something, we're not sure somebody else does. So we don't want to offend them. So whatever you do, even if you can sit in your pew and do like this, do it with all your heart. Let me read you some verses, familiar ones. Now, here's the thing. I've been telling you this, and I am going to do it because I have good notes in this. But I'm going to send you notes. This is the fourth week, so you're going to get all the notes. Some of the notes are a little bit repetitive, but I want you to have the notes so you can reference back the scriptures. Those of you who want to study more, go deeper into these things, you can save you some of the work, and you can just look up some of the scriptures and kind of things, okay? This is what Daniel says about the throne room. This is Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and his vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. That sounds like Revelation 1. His throne was ablaze with flames. Actually, the word is, in Hebrew, his throne was flames of fire. Its wheels were burning fire. And a river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. And thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. And the court sat, and the books were open. In Ezekiel chapter 1, this is another one of those throne room chapters. Speaking of Jesus here, Ezekiel 1 verse 27, he talked about seeing the appearance of a man in verse 26. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around and within. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire that was a radiance around him. I'll read verse 28 because that'll make sense in just a minute. And as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. This is a real familiar one. I won't hang out here too long or I'll get lost. Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 6. He says to us, put me like a seal over your heart. When she says, put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can rivers overflow it. And the word there is a vehement flame of the Lord. And the fire, when you see the white part, it's the blue part of the fire, which is even hotter than the white part of the flame. And so he describes the throne room environment as, in Revelation 15:2, talks about the sea of glass. Revelation 15:2 says it's a sea of glass mixed with fire. As a matter of fact, Exodus 24:10, which is also a throne room setting, it says it's an emerald sea. An emerald sea that's crystal. That's got fire in it. And so when you think of the throne room environment that we live in and we pray in and pray from, you have this throne that is a flame of fire, sitting on wheels of fire. And from it, and sitting on the throne is one who's like fire. And from that, there's this giant, because the throne sits in the middle of this great sea of glass. It's a crystal sea that's kind of like sapphire with flames of fire in it. And running down the middle is a river of fire that comes from the throne. That's a lot of fire. And in that environment, if you read over and over again in the book of Revelation, You have all these creatures and people falling down before him, worshiping him. It's an environment of worship, not an environment of judgment. Not in the third heaven. It's a response to the vehement, fiery, wholehearted love of God for you and me. I just think that's powerful. That's the quiet place. That's the quiet time place. When you pray, there's this throne. There's one sitting on the throne. It's a throne on fire, on wheels of fire. Why does it have wheels of fire? Because it's as if everything that happens on this tiny planet, the throne is sitting over that situation, over that circumstance, over that moment, high and lifting up, declaring what must take place in the midst of these things. That's a prophetic word, by the way. Biblical word. If he falls off that throne and that throne stops moving, I'm going to get scared. But until then, I ain't scared. I don't want to offend him by being afraid. As if he's not on the throne. Standing over every, sitting over every single situation, circumstance. And so he's sardius, and the sea of glass mixed with fire. Also, the fire in the sea of glass emanates from his presence. So the whole environment is like, and there's lightning and thunder. And pretty cool. Best worship band you've ever heard in the history of the world. That just comes from the throne. And then the, anyway. And in the midst of all that, it says in Revelation 4, we saw it in Ezekiel chapter 1, in the midst of that environment of fire, because he even talks about the Holy Spirit being like seven lamps or seven torches burning before him. So it's more fire. I love that environment. I love that picture. I mean, the Holy Spirit's the only one of the Godhead who's not sitting on the throne because he's on the move. The part of the Godhead who's on the move, who's darting back and forth, flaming before the throne, ready to go. And as I mentioned last week, and every time he goes, angels follow him. But it says about him, it says, his appearance is like jasper, it's like sardius, and there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Think about, and this is a rainbow. I don't know how it can be a bow, because it's actually a circle. And it circles the throne. You have all these things, cool things going on. Throne of fire, wheels of fire, one sitting on it, fire. The seven fire, flames of the Holy Spirit. Lightning going on, thunder going on. River of fire, sea of glass mixed with fire. And there's this emerald rainbow. And rainbows always speak of us in Scripture about God's heart of mercy and grace. And the fact that there's a circle means that everything that God does, the rainbow completely encircles God's throne, mercy completely encircles his throne and all the works of his government. And governing in my life, too. And it's green, emerald. And green always speaks in Scripture about something living, something that's flourishing. So here you have all this cool stuff, God's love, the fire of God's love, all that going on, the glory, majesty, and then there's this his kind intentions. It talks about that twice in Ephesians 1. Do you know that God always has kind intentions toward you? His kind intentions circle him like a rainbow, like a promise that I'll always be this to you. It's never ending. It's always flourishing. His mercy and grace are always alive. I just think that's cool. If I can find this place, I did mark it with one of these little plastic things. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Micah 7, 18 and 19. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love and mercy. Hear me. He delights in unchanging love and mercy. That's why he forgives. He will again have compassion on us. Aren't you glad that the last time wasn't used, everything used up? That all of his mercy wasn't used up the last time you talked? He again will have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yet thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I'll just read you this thing I wrote down. A couple of verses too. This is Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Now, I know people who love that part. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Roar. And it's true. But the next thing it says, and truth and mercy go before your face. Whatever he roars in front of that roar is truth and mercy. If your roar doesn't also carry truth and mercy, Rainbows in the natural appear. Now hear this, okay? Because I'm reading it. Rainbows in the natural appear after dark clouds of rain and storm. Rainbows in the natural. And the one who sits on the throne declares by his very appearance, the rainbow, that mercy from the throne of God will always prevail after the storms of darkness and evil that people do pass. The final outcome is never dictated by the sin of man or the powers of darkness, but always by his sovereign will and mercy. That ought to be encouraging to you. We're going through some storms, really, aren't we? The powers of darkness are doing stuff. People are doing crazy, stupid things on so many levels out there. And you with me? Not in here. None of you. I know that. But out there, it's nutty stuff. And it seems so unpredictable. And it can be very frightening and unnerving. But here's what you need to know. When it's all done, when the storm's finished, whatever blows in the end, there's going to be the rainbow around the throne. And God's mercy will prevail. His purposes will be accomplished. Now, we pray into this so that there's not any more damage to souls and stuff than necessary. You hear me? We make a difference. When we get to the intercessory part, and I'll show you something in here that's going to blow your mind. It's awesome from Revelation 5:10. Just stunning. But we're almost there. Bear with me. Not today. Not today. All right, let me do this couple of things quick so that we can actually get there. Mentioned to you in just to give you, it's here. It's part of the throne room environment. God's picture of you. It says, around the throne there were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments, golden crowns on their heads. That speaks of the church. But you're not sitting there with him as a beggar. You're on the throne. You have a crown on your head, and you're dressed in white. Why is that? Because you've become the righteousness of God in Christ. You belong there. Do you understand that? You belong there because of what he's done, because of what Jesus has done. You know the emerald rainbow, the mercy of God? That's the stone for the tribe of tribe of Judah. What tribe did Jesus come from? Judah. The mercy is because of his finished work. And because of his finished work and your inclusion in his life, you belong there. You wear white robes. You have a crown on your head. Authority. And you're seated on a throne. That's who you are. You're royalty as you participate in his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And here's something I saw that's really kind of cool. You hanging in there? Look at, Lord help me. This is in Revelation 5, verse 8. Just the proximity of, verse 6. Just the proximity of us. And I saw between the throne, and actually the word is, I saw in the middle of the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain. Seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out on the earth. So here you are, your proximity is, there's the lamb slain with seven horns, seven eyes, the Holy Spirit, the four living creatures that are crying, holy, 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 and you. Like, doesn't it feel like, well, I don't belong in that crowd? Have you ever been before? You ever been intimidated before by people, really spiritual people, or people you thought really spiritual? And you get with them, you feel kind of intimidated or whatever. Hey, buddy, this is like the best, this is the biggest, baddest crowd ever in terms of spirituality. And you're there in the middle because you belong. Your voice is sweet to them. Your form is lovely to them. Those four living creatures know that their position is actually inferior to yours. Is this helping some? To help you understand what's happening in prayer, what you're invited to, your position in Christ? Oh, Chucky. All right, we're going to do these two things. Guys, and so those of you who, I love liturgy too, but liturgy is just for the people, not the other way around. So we're going to cheat a little bit again today, so we're going to get you guys to come up and prepare. And then next week, I promise, I won't keep doing this. I take the promise back, but next week I'll try not to. No, not yet. Don't start yet. I'm going to do this, and then we're going to come up here. And while they're passing the peace, you'll do that. You guys are so sweet. You are so obedient. I'll do these two little things real quick because I want you to see this part because it's in this little section. 24 elders. And then it says in verse 5, and from the throne proceeds flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. If you go back and you read Zechariah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, you're going to get the notes. This is talking about a couple of things. One of them is God's aroused personality. When you pray, God's personality erupts. He's wholehearted with thunder. His voice comes forth. He shouts over you. He sings over us. He speaks into our lives. He reveals things for us to speak and to decree. He unveils His heart. He shows us what must take place in the midst of these things. And we have a role in that because we have a crown and we're on a throne. We have a role in those things happening. But the flashes of lightning can also just be the strikes of the Holy Spirit, fresh encounters that you have in that environment. And also we'll see strikes from you in union with the Holy Spirit to the earth in terms of intercession. And again, thunder. His voice thunders. It says its voice is like the sound of trumpet. But the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, there's been a lot of things spoken about this. The vast majority of people think in terms of, they talk about the sevenfold ministries of the Holy Spirit from Isaiah 11:2. There's actually six. I see here the Holy Spirit and His sixfold ministry to men. The number six is the number for man. And those ministries are wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. So when I spend time alone with Him, before I ever ask for anything personally or pray for anybody, this is this time of intimacy and encounter and discovery. The Holy Spirit, like seven torches, is ministering into my life. Wisdom sometimes, understanding sometimes, counsel sometimes when I need it, power in my life, knowledge that I never had, insight in God's ways, and the fear of the Lord. Oh, by the way, I get to also pray those things into the earth. I just think that's cool. Think about it. All that covers when I'm alone with Him. And His voice thunders. There's a fresh lightning strike of the Holy Spirit as He's aroused in response to hearing my voice. The Holy Spirit ministers sometimes to me wisdom. When I need wisdom. Understanding. When I need understanding about me, about other things. Counsel. I don't know about this, but if you knew about this, but Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. There's so many things we could see here. So trust me, I'm really paraphrasing, or was it making it smaller? Now, next week, we'll start talking about what you can expect. We kind of just did. What you can expect more in terms of what happens to you in this place of intimacy encounter. See, and it's from that place of encounter and transformation that personal petition and intercession carry authority. He so tenderizes your heart. So, cultivates, strengthens your experience of your union with Christ there, that from that everything else flows. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Cause your word to bring forth a hundredfold harvest. Holy Spirit, help them to chew the grass and spit out the briars. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together while God, as you come.